Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. This program is for those who think that exercise is walking to the refrigerator to get another soda. You know who you are. Seriously, exercise isn't an option if you want to enjoy optimum health. It's mandatory. But does it have to be a chore? Absolutely not. Exercise can be fun if you know why you do it and how to do it effectively. Our guest today is here to explain how each one of us can create a lifestyle that includes the exercises that will do us the most good while bringing us the greatest sense of satisfaction. Dr. Andre Avery is a consulting physician for CHIP and also a board-certified specialist in internal medicine and on the volunteer faculty of the University of California in Irvine. Dr. Avery, welcome to CHIP Health.
Thank you so much.
Now, we hear a lot about exercising for health and fitness. Health and fitness. What do these two terms actually mean?
Well, Charles, I'm glad you asked because many times we take for granted that people know what these terms mean, but it's sometimes good to just review them. Health refers to the absence of disease, a state of well-being, or basically if you're not sick, you're considered to be healthy. Mm-hmm. But fitness goes a bit further. Fitness means being able to perform any activity that you do with vigor. Mm-hmm. So the key word is vigor. You want to be able to perform activities with vigor without becoming unduly fatigued. For example, if you had to rush up two flights of stairs for some reason, would you be able to do that without passing out or feeling like you're going to, you know, your heart's going to explode?
Yeah.
Or if you're out at the park playing with your kids, would you be able to do that and be comfortable and still feel energetic doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between health or just not being sick or not having a disease and being fit, having that vigor, that vim and vigor, as some people refer to it, and being able to do what you want to do and still feel strong and energetic doing it.
Now, of course, that begs the question, can you be truly healthy without being fit, and can you be fit without being healthy?
That's a good question. Well, again, if you don't have a medical condition, if you don't have an illness, you are technically considered to be healthy. But clearly, fitness is a whole different level. It allows you to get the maximum out of your life, being able to do things and enjoy your activities at a much higher level. So we don't want to just exist at the lower level just getting by. We want to be able to excel and to reach our highest level of health as it relates to overall health, and that includes fitness. Healthy, but we want to be fit as well in terms of being able to perform well and to have vigor while we're performing and to have energy while we're performing various activities and exercises.
This exercise and fitness, we know that athletes, of course, are very interested in this. Does that really trickle down to those of us who just get in our car and go to work and make it through our day and try to stay alive? Is exercise and fitness important for us, and why?
Certainly, we know trained athletes, we all like to watch them on TV or to watch various sports and see them excel and do well in their various areas. But exercise and fitness is something that is beneficial to everyone, regardless of your age, your gender, your occupation. We need to be concerned about exercise and fitness for several reasons. Again, as I mentioned, exercise is a component of fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And exercise specifically is defined as activity that is done with the purpose of improving your fitness. Physical activity is just moving your body. Any movement of your body is referred to as physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
But exercise is physical activity that is done for the purpose of improving your fitness. So it has a point to it. Now, many health conditions are actually related to physical inactivity. As we know in our country, and in fact across the world, the incidence of obesity over the past 30 years has just skyrocketed. And many people suffer from diabetes, coronary artery disease, hypertension. All of these conditions that I've mentioned are closely related to physical inactivity. Hmm. So why do we need to be concerned about exercise and fitness? That's one of the reasons. We want to, as far as possible, prevent these chronic health conditions. If we have these chronic health conditions, exercise and fitness is one aspect that can help to control these conditions. And I think most people, if you were to ask them, would say they want to decrease their risk of having these conditions as time goes on.
Yeah.
There are also numerous benefits to exercise and fitness. And if you ask anyone, maybe if you have a friend or a colleague or a family member that is into regular exercise and fitness, and you just ask them, you know, what do you get out of exercise? How does it benefit you? Some of the things that you'll find are they feel better. You find that you have more energy. You sleep better if you're someone who has sleep disturbance or trouble with getting to sleep or staying asleep. Your endurance is increased, improvement in your mood. So if you have symptoms of anxiety or depressed mood, exercise and fitness helps to improve that. Even things like improving your bowel function if you have trouble with constipation. If you want to lose weight, many people want to lose weight. Exercise and fitness helps you along that road as well. And as I mentioned, the medical conditions, if you have any medical conditions, particularly the common ones like diabetes and high blood pressure and obesity, exercise and fitness are definitely helpful in terms of controlling and managing these problems. So there are numerous benefits. There are numerous reasons why exercise and fitness is something that should be desirable and something we should aim for in our daily lives.
Well, now, again, why? I should say, what does exercise do? An activity that you do for the benefit of your health is different from an activity you do for the benefit of just getting through the day. What is the difference when you walk to the store and you park the car close to the store, or you park the car at the far end of the parking lot? One of them, you walk a long ways, one of them, you walk a short ways. What is the difference? What happens inside your body that makes that long walk beneficial to you?
First point I'd like to say is that any activity is good activity.
Okay.
So during the course of your day, you made a good point. Any time that you can make to move and not be sitting, to walk and not ride, to run and not walk, basically any time, take the stairs instead of the elevator.
Yeah.
If there's any time during your day you can think of an opportunity to move as opposed to not move, that's a good thing.
Okay.
And again, that's physical activity. Exercise is more purposeful. So you could actually be doing exercise during the course of your day,
by taking
the stairs.
Yeah.
So it's physical activity, but it's also exercise because it's purposeful.
Okay.
And the exercise is for the purpose of reaching a goal,
right,
of improving your fitness.
Okay.
So it's a motivator. It's something that you have decided beforehand that you're going to do. So they both benefit you. It's just that it's a mindset.
Okay.
So first, the physical activity, which is any activity, any movement, exercise has a purpose behind it, that being to improve your health as well as your fitness. Again, ongoing fitness is just moving it up a level as time goes on.
All right. Okay.
So it's all good. There's no wrong or bad activity or exercise. It all counts. It's all good.
And I'm assuming that it's cumulative. I mean, any exercise, if you do 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, over the course of the day, that does add up and it's beneficial, even if you do it in small amounts, right?
Absolutely. And that is one of the ways that people who complain that they don't have time, which is one of the most common reasons that people give for not exercising, I'm just too busy, there's too many things in my day, I just can't make the time. One of the ways you can overcome that, one of the ways, is to, again, incorporate being more active throughout your day as much as possible. Doesn't mean you shouldn't perhaps take time separately for specific exercise, maybe 30 or 60-minute sessions of exercise, but also during the course of your day just to be more active. Like you said, for example, parking the car further from the mall, or taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator. Or maybe during your lunch break, you know, going out for a walk, or you know, instead of sitting in the lounge and talking for the hour you have, you know, getting outdoors and doing something, moving, or even riding your bike to work. If you don't live too far, I know a colleague of mine who lives about 5 minutes from work, and he bikes to and from work every day.
Yes.
He started doing that after he had a heart attack many years ago, and he is very fit. He's just very happy. He's energetic. So that was one decision he made. So there are many ways that you can choose to be more active and to engage in regular exercise and to be fit. And that's encouraging because it doesn't have to be difficult.
Now, let's break down a good exercise program here. Do you just jump into it or do you take it step by step? How do you ease yourself into an exercise program that's going to do the best for your health?
Well, that's a good point. We certainly want to make sure that once you begin a program that you continue it and that you get what you want out of it and that you're enjoying it. So I would say the first thing, it really depends on where you're starting from. If you're someone who is extremely sedentary, meaning that you have not been doing any activity hardly at all, and you're just starting from, you know, ground zero, basically, and you're just totally out of shape, very unfit, maybe overweight or whatever, then you certainly want to, you know, keep some general things in mind if you're a person like that. And that is you want to start very slowly and take it slow in terms of intensity level. The other thing is if you have, you know, medical conditions, of course, or if you're over 45 or you have heart conditions or on medications, you certainly should confer with your doctor, particularly if you're going to start a very vigorous exercise program. And by that, I mean something like, say, if you're training for a marathon or you're going to be, you know, just really something that's extremely high-level exercise, you definitely need to seek a doctor's attention first. Mm-hmm. But there's four parts to fitness. And again, we want to keep it simple, but in order to be overall healthy and fit, we want to make sure we keep these things in mind. Mm-hmm. And one aspect is your cardiovascular fitness, which is the aerobic fitness. These are things like fast walking, running, bicycling, swimming, where your large muscles are moving on a regular basis and your heart and lungs are getting exercised. So that's one part of fitness. And then there's the muscle strength. Muscle strength has to do with things like doing calisthenics or floor exercises or isometric exercises where you're contracting your muscles. Or if you go to a gym, the resistance machines at the gym that are used for working your muscles. So that's the second part of fitness is muscle strength. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is important is that as you build muscle, it helps to boost your metabolism. Mm. And what that means is that if you engage in regular muscle exercises, say at least twice a week, what we find is that when you're just sitting still and not doing anything, your body metabolism is at a higher rate. In other words, you burn more calories just sitting still.
Wow.
Once you get in the habit of doing regular muscle training or strength training. And again, you don't have to be a bodybuilder. It doesn't have to be an extreme level. Okay, so that's cardiovascular fitness, then you have muscular strength, and the third part is flexibility, which means stretching. Stretching is very important. What it does is it helps to make your ligaments and the tendons that attach your bone to bone and bone to muscle, it makes them more supple, so you're less likely to be injured when you exercise. Mm-hmm. So those are the three main components. The other component is your body composition, which is the amount of fat versus muscle that you have in your body. And that basically is just keeping your body weight within a desirable range. So again, four parts to fitness, cardiovascular or aerobic. And you want to do that at least 3 to 5 times a week. Okay, if you're someone who's sedentary starting out, you may want to do 10 to 15 minutes to start with. Mm-hmm. And gradually aim for 30 minutes per session of that. And you can go as much as 60 minutes. So that's your goal. Mm-hmm. And then you have your muscle strength or muscle exercises. You want to do that at least 2 to 3 times a week. And then your flexibility or stretching. Again, you want to do that at least 3 to 4 times a week. Well, that's something you can do every day. You know, if you're sitting down watching the news in the evening or whatever, you can, you know, instead of just sitting on the sofa, you can get on the floor and do your stretches. And that way you get your stretching in. So those are the components of a well-rounded exercise or fitness program.
Well, this is fantastic. And, you know, I want to take a break now. When we come back, let's talk more with Dr. Avery. I want to ask her, okay, you've outlined what we should be doing. Why aren't we doing it? Let's find out when we get back. So everybody stay right where you are. Beans are often dismissed as peasant food, but for your heart and circulatory system, they're fit for a king. Eating beans regularly lowers cholesterol and the risk of experiencing a heart attack. Those who eat one serving of black beans a day are 40% less likely to suffer a coronary event than those who rarely eat beans. Beans provide protein, fiber, vitamins, minerals, and taste great as a main dish or in soups or dips. Go ahead, eat royally. Eat beans.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Dehl, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Andre Avery. She is a consulting physician for CHIP. She's also a board-certified specialist in internal medicine and is on the volunteer faculty at the University of California in Irvine. We're talking about exercise for health and fitness. She has identified the difference between health and fitness and how important exercise is for both. And she also identified four components: cardiovascular, that's fast walking, biking, swimming, muscle strength, that would be floor exercise, calisthenics and resistance exercise, flexibility, that of course would be stretching, and also taking care of the weight, making sure that the ratio of fat to muscle is in tune. How do you determine that? Let's talk about this fat versus muscle weight here. How do you know if you are not on the right side of this scale where you should be, doctor?
All right, so body composition has to really do with, again, your body weight. Uh-huh. and whether or not you're overweight or obese. There are tables that have been devised to help us to keep track with this. One way is what we call body mass index, mm-hmm. which is kind of the gold standard of how you determine that, but it's very difficult to calculate that. So basically, a better way to do this is to look at a weight table. And you can find this in any fitness center or any health book or nutrition book. And basically, you want to look at your gender, whether you're male or female. There's one table for whether you're male or female. Mm-hmm. And then your frame size. And your frame size has to do with, you can check that based on how large your wrist is.
Okay.
So you can measure your wrist, and you can see whether or not you are small, medium, or large body size.
Okay.
But just to put it briefly, in general, for, say, a male, you would take 100 pounds if you're 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then for each inch over 5 feet tall, mm-hmm. you add approximately 6 pounds.
Okay.
So your weight should be around that area. For a woman, you want to take, again, 100 pounds for 5 feet, and then 5 pounds for each inch over 5 feet.
All right, 5 pounds.
So that's just a rough estimate of what your general weight should be. However, keep in mind that if you're over that weight, that losing any weight and keeping it off, even if it's 10 or 15 pounds, mm-hmm. has been shown to markedly improve your health outcome, meaning your risk of having health problems, and it helps to improve your medical conditions if you have them. So if you're someone who needs to lose a lot of weight, do not be distraught over this big challenge ahead of you. Just losing some weight and keeping it off is very beneficial. And again, exercise will help you along that journey.
Oh, that's good news. In other words, as soon as you start doing these things and you start cutting back on whatever is making you fat and you start increasing the exercise, which will make you slender, every step you take is beneficial right from the very get-go. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Oh, cool.
It all counts. All the activity you do is helpful.
All right.
So the more the better.
So I'm hearing you say that the goal really should be just to do it. You don't have to worry about the where you're going to end up, but just simply start doing it.
That's so true. I have many patients who come to me who one day the light bulb went on and they would say, oh, you know what? Why have I not been doing this all my life? This is such a no-brainer, so to speak.
Right.
And people will come and say, you know what? It's so easy. And now I don't have to take so many medications, and I just feel so much better. And it's just the habit. I'm not doing it to lose weight or because I'm on some diet. It's just what I do. It's a habit. It's a lifestyle. And that's the place you want to get to, where it's part of what you do.
Oh,
I tell my patients, like brushing your teeth in the morning,
yeah.
or at night. You don't sit and think, well, should I do this or should I not? Well, I'm okay. I can buy without this. It should become a habit, something that's part of your lifestyle. That's the goal.
Mm. We're talking with Andre Avery. Dr. Andre Avery is a consulting physician for CHIP, and we're talking about health and exercise today. And this is really good stuff. This is encouraging. Now, let's talk about the average individual. Let's say that I'm an average individual and I come to you, Dr. Avery, and I say, I need an exercise program. I'm 60 years old and I'm an average guy, average build, everything. I'm just an average across the board. What kind of program would you put me on?
Okay, very good. So the average American, unfortunately, is overweight.
That's true.
Charles, I've never seen you. I don't know what you look like. I'm not going to ask you any personal questions. But the average American is overweight. Many of us, of them, are obese or more so.
Yeah.
So for the average person who's probably a bit overweight, or even if you're not, there are three things you want to keep in mind when you're seeking a good exercise program.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep in mind the word FIT, F-I-T.
All right.
Okay. So what you want to do, the F stands for frequency.
Okay.
That means you need to do the exercise often enough for it to do some good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to exercise today and then wait a week before you exercise again.
Yes.
It needs to be done frequently. By that we mean at least 3 to 5 times a week. So again, if you're someone who is starting out from sedentary, from a sedentary point, you may want to start maybe with the 3, you know, and
mm-hmm.
then maybe every other day kind of thing, and then working up to 5 times a week. Okay, the I stands for intensity.
Mm.
That means that in order to become fit, you want to exercise to a point where you're feeling that you're exerting yourself.
Okay.
Again, as I mentioned before, walking is good, but if you're walking at this extremely slow pace, just enjoying the day, looking around, not really, you know, pushing yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's good. That's better than sitting on the sofa. But for the purpose of becoming fit and getting a benefit from your exercise, you want to exert yourself. You should feel that you're having to breathe somewhat in a labored manner.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to feel some degree of sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is you can follow your heart rate. And, you know, sometimes that's a little complicated, but you want to work with between 60 to 80% of your maximum heart rate. And if you're someone who likes numbers, the way you calculate that is you take whatever your age is, say you're 40,
mm-hmm.
and you subtract that from 220. So say if you're 40, then your maximum heart rate would be 220 minus 40, which I believe is 180.
Okay.
That would be your maximum heart rate. Okay, so you don't want to reach 180. You want to reach about 60 to 80% of that. So if you say 60% of 180 is, what, 6 times 8? You do the math. So it'll be 60% of whatever your maximum heart rate, between 60 and 80%.
Okay.
So you can calculate that ahead of time, and that way when you're exercising, you can check your pulse and see if you're between that 60 and 80% of maximum heart rate range.
Okay, very good.
So the F is frequency, I is intensity, and then T is time. You need to exercise long enough for it to be beneficial. So each session should be at least 20 minutes. And again, if you're starting from level 1, you may even have a session that's only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Again, and then work up to the 20 minutes. But your goal should be between 30 to 60 minutes for your exercise session. Because you don't want to overdo it and, you know, become injured or to cause problems. So you want to keep it in a time frame that is reasonable for long-term compliance. And for the strength training, which we talked about for your muscle health, you want to do that 2 times a week.
Okay. All right.
2 to 3 times, but at least 2 times a week. And then the flexibility or stretching, you can do that every day.
Yeah. Now, how about these bands? I've seen these bands for sale where you tie them to the door and then you stretch these bands. Are they good for muscle building or for stretching?
Those are fine. Again, there are many ways to enhance your fitness and to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
The bands are good for stretching and flexibility, but they also come in various degrees of resistance.
Right.
So because some of them are more stretchy than others, the ones obviously that are less stretchy, when you pull on them, it's going to cause you to work your muscles more and build more muscle. So they are good for both things, for flexibility as well as muscle strength.
And weights, is it necessary for us to go buy ourselves some good quality weights?
Well, you don't have to. You can start with things that are in your house. You can take a liter bottle or 2 liter bottle of water.
Or lift up the dog.
Weights, or a big soup can.
Okay.
Or, you know, something like that around your house that you can start with. Obviously, after a period of time, you'll probably need to, you know, graduate to something higher. And you can buy weights in your local sporting goods store, or if you belong to a gymnasium, you can certainly use their weights. But you can start with things you have in your home, like bottles of water or cans of soup, things like that.
I guess the idea here is that you need to have something in your hand that causes resistance, that weighs more than your hand does. Am I right?
That is true. Yeah. But again, things like sit-ups and push-ups and floor calisthenics also help to work your muscles and build muscle strength as well. So those are good as well.
All right. Okay. Is it supposed to hurt when you exercise? Are you supposed? Is the no
question.
Pain, no gain? Is that really?
Exactly. They say no pain, no gain. Well, you know, you should feel that you're exerting yourself, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
And you should probably be a little sweaty. Again, you should aim for that to indicate that you're doing some good. And, you know, as time goes on, you should feel a bit sore, say, after your 60 minutes of exercise or so, 30 to 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. But the soreness shouldn't last more than a few hours and certainly no more than a day.
Okay. All right.
And if you are feeling sore, it's good to maybe take a day off and let your body recover.
That's from exercise, not from work, I assume.
No, you can't get a doctor's excuse for that. Although many have tried.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you take that day off, it allows your body to heal and the muscles to recover. Yeah. And that's actually, believe it or not, when your muscles are getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you have that soreness and they're going through that healing process, that's when they're getting stronger. It's kind of like when you undergo a stress or something that's difficult, it makes you stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just have 30 seconds here. Can I ask you, Dr. Avery, what is the best exercise? Is there one particular one that really fits for everybody?
Okay, you know what? The best exercise is the one that you will do. Whichever exercise that you enjoy, something that you will keep up with, whichever, it varies from person to person.
Sure.
But whatever that thing is that you will do that will keep you active, that's the best one for you.
The exercise that you don't do doesn't do you one bit of good, right?
Do you any good.
All right, very good. Well, I tell you what, you have told us some wonderful guidelines here, Dr. Avery, and I really appreciate that. This is Dr. Andre Avery. She's a consulting physician for CHIP. And I've written some things down here, and I'm looking forward to going out and doing them. Appreciate that.
Well, I hope so. I hope others do the same.
All right. Very good. And listener, there's a website, www.chiphealth.org. Check it out for more resources you can find to live a healthy, happy, vibrant life that we all want to do, as well as taking the advantage of what Dr. Avery has told us here. Wonderful words for us. That's www.chiphealth.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Andre Avery inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.